Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 245, entitled Deutsche Telekom über alles. It is yet another broadcast documenting German corporate control over the American media. Now, Deutsche Telekom, by the way, this is also being recorded on August 20th of the year 2000. Deutsche Telekom is the German government telephone monopoly, now in the process of being turned, at least ostensibly, into a private corporation. A very interesting entity in that it is now moving very rapidly into the telecommunications market, and yet it continues to have a dominant interest owned by the German government. We're going to begin by reviewing an element of German corporate reality, and this is in the context of the other broadcasts in this series documenting German corporate control over the media. And please note that as we get into a discussion of mobile telephones, which is one of the areas in which Deutsche Telekom has been penetrating the American market, that mobile telephones will very soon be a major element of the media, in that it'll have a lot to do with mobile internet access, and this in the context of the German corporate control over the internet as well, in particular something that we looked at in For the Record program number 243. What we're going to do now is to excerpt a short section of For the Record program number 235, this entitled Transatlantic Machinations by the Fourth Reich. So this is again from For the Record program number 235. Something else that's very, very significant in terms of the European Union is how the European Union is functioning on an international fashion, or in international fashion, as a vehicle for German political and economic chauvinism. Now, again, when I discuss some of the actions of the EU against some of the huge mergers and some of the economic concentration and globalization, this should not be misinterpreted by listeners as an endorsement on my part of increasing economic concentration or globalization. Nonetheless, the evident fact of both trends is something way beyond the control of Dave Emery. And I want to note in this regard that even though one hears criticism of international bodies and of NAFTA and GATT, including and especially from certain right-wing sources, there is no discussion or no substantive discussion of the European Union as a vehicle for German economic control and consequent political conquest. Bear in mind, too, the fact that the major German corporations are controlled at their foundation by the Bormann Group, as I've noted in the past, the economic component of a Third Reich gone underground. Note also that whereas American corporations function independently of one another and outside of cooperating on labor, marketing, and environmental considerations, they are apolitical. The various German corporations could be thought of as the different divisions in a military army. One could think of the 2nd SS Panzer as one corporation, the Hermann Göring Division as another corporation. They act in concert with one another as vehicles of national conquest. Even though they certainly strive to achieve profit, the profit is in a geopolitical sense a secondary motive, and the money that is gained from their operations is used to expand the corporations, but in turn, the overall agenda is one of international economic control and consequent political conquest, and the various major German corporations function in conjunction with one another like the divisions of an army, and that is fundamentally different. That again from For the Record program number 235. Now again, this discussion is to be taken in the context of the many previous broadcasts in this series and in the context of the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk, about which we've spoken so many times. We're limited for time, and so I'm going to proceed briskly throughout the through the rest of the discussion, but keep those other broadcasts and the book Serpent's Walk in mind as you listen to this, and listen in particular to the Deutsche Telekom acquisition of Voice and some of the implications this deal will have for American telecommunications, American internet, and American life in general. This is from the Los Angeles Times of July 24th of the year 2000. That's a Monday. This article is by Charles Piller, P-I-L-L-E-R. It's headlined, For Web Phones, the Future is Calling, subtitled, Telecom, makers of personal digital assistants, are wringing their hands over the potential of these wireless wonders. But there are some bugs to eliminate if that promise is to be realized. Remember that name bug, or the word bug? We're going to come back to a pun on that later on in this broadcast. For years, tech wizards have predicted the demise of the personal computer as the dominant internet connection. The palm, handheld computer, and other information appliances, unquote, were the heirs apparent, but a sluggish rollout of such devices and limited public acceptance have defied overly optimistic marketers. Now, the cellular phone has emerged as the new favorite to become the most common and accessible tool for online communication and commerce. Bear that in mind. Bear in mind the role of the mobile phone and the internet, and also the unique factor of the unique nature of German corporate life, as discussed in that excerpt from For the Record Program 235. What we're going to do now is to review an article that I took a look at, or that we took a look at, in For the Record Program 243 about German corporate control over the internet. This concerns Walt Disney's potential sale of a 25% stake in InfoSeek Deutschland, which is the German unit of InfoSeek, and that is going to be sold to T-Online. Now, that is the internet service of Deutsche Telekom, the major focal point of this broadcast. Research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is from CBS MarketWatch, cbs.marketwatch.com, and this is from CBS MarketWatch of July 7th of the year 2000. It's headlined, T-Online Looking at German InfoSeek, subtitled Disney Moving to Shed Non-Core Assets, Analysts Say, and this reads in part as follows. In a bid to offer consumers a compelling package of internet access and online search tools, German internet service provider T-Online is seeking to buy Walt Disney's 25% stake in InfoSeek's German unit, and Disney reportedly is receptive. T-Online is in discussions to raise its stake in InfoSeek Deutschland to 50% from 25%, according to Deutsche Telekom, T-Online's parent. German publishers Holzbrink and Axel Springer Verlag would retain their 25% stakes in InfoSeek Deutschland. Von Holzbrink is one of the two Third Reich-connected firms that dominate American publishing. Axel Springer Verlag is owned by Bertelsmann, and that is the largest of the Third Reich-connected firms that dominate American publishing. It's also the second largest music recording company in the world, fourth in sales. It was the maker of books for the SS in World War II, and the patriarch of the firm, Heinrich Mohn, was SS himself, and recent works by their house historian, Dirk Bovendam, which blame World War II on Franklin Roosevelt in the United States, would appear to indicate that their past is indeed the present. But note here that Deutsche Telekom is the parent company of T-Online. More from this particular article. By upping its stake, T-Online, the largest European internet service provider, hopes to have more control over the direction and strategy of the search engine firm, according to industry observers. Note that Bertelsmann has preferred content on two of the largest internet portals, that being America Online and also Lycos, and we looked at that in For the Record Program 243. Bear in mind the nature of German corporate life and also the role that mobile telephones will be having in the internet and consequently American media. And listen to the following series of articles. First, the New York Times of Wednesday, July 5th of the year 2000, article by Edmund L. Andrews, headline, German Giant Plans Global Phone Strategy, lead paragraph. Ron Somer, S-O-M-M-E-R, the chief executive of Deutsche Telekom, has more than $100 billion to spend and wants to buy something big in the United States. More about Deutsche Telekom's strategy, and they've already made one major American mobile phone purchase. There will be some possible legal barriers to others, but those may fall. This from the Wall Street Journal of Thursday, July 6th of the year 2000. This documents the areas in which Deutsche Telekom is trying to advance. This is an article by William Boston of the Wall Street Journal. It's datelined Bonn, Germany, headlined, Deutsche Telekom Weighs All Options, subtitled German Phone Company Looks Beyond Sprint for Possible Acquisitions. And skipping down, of the global strategy alluded to in that New York Times article, the Wall Street Journal of 7-6-2000 comments, What has become clear over the past few months is what Deutsche Telekom is trying to achieve. The company wants to become a global player in four areas: data networking based on the Internet Protocol, wireless, online services, and basic access, including broadband Internet access. Each acquisition is now measured by whether it will further transform any of these four areas into global businesses. Sprint would provide Deutsche Telekom with an Internet backbone network and a strong sales force that is good at handling corporate customers. That would strengthen the data networking group T-Systems. Sprint PCS, a nationwide mobile phone operator with 7 million customers, would boost Deutsche Telekom's wireless outfit T-Mobile, and the long-distance business and basic phone services would fit into T-Access, which hasn't taken on as much shape as the other three pillars in the company's strategy. So note that in addition to mobile telephones, Deutsche Telekom is becoming a major player in the Internet, and bear in mind the nature of German corporate life and the discussion from For the Record 243 about German corporate control over the Internet, and that in turn to be taken in the context of the other broadcast dealing with German corporate control over the American media and the Serpent's Walk scenario. The San Francisco Examiner of Tuesday, July 25th of the year 2000, documented the first of Deutsche Telekom's major major corporate purchases in the United States. This is an article by Hans Greimel of the Associated Press, that's G-R-E-I-M-E-L, Dateline to Frankfurt, Germany, headlined, "Telecom Merger Rankles Senate and Markets." Subtitled, "Deutsche Telekom's High-Priced Buy Still Leaves Company Wanting in the U.S. This concerns Deutsche Telekom's purchase of the VoiceStream Wireless Corporation. We read about that. Europe's biggest telecommunications company, Deutsche Telekom AG, took its first step into the U.S. market Monday with its planned $46 billion acquisition of VoiceStream Wireless Corporation, the nation's eighth-largest wireless carrier. Skipping down, if successful, Bonn-based Deutsche Telekom would gain an international reach to 375 million potential customers and a toehold with one of the few U.S. telecommunications companies using the GSM standard, the most popular digital cellular standard in the world. While most U.S. carriers use the rival TDMA and CDMA technologies, VoiceStream has the broadest reach of any GSM company in the United States, reaching 2.3 million customers throughout the nation. In comparison, industry leader Verizon Wireless has nearly 26 million customers. Quote, "While GSM is used by virtually every carrier in Europe, it is unique in the United States," unquote, VoiceStream Chief Executive John Stanton, who will stay with the year-old Bellevue, Washington-based company, told a televised news conference in New York. Equipped with so-called SIM cards, tiny microchips easily swapped between phones, the phones can be programmed with credit information, bank account data, and personal buying preferences. That allows people to more easily use their phones to deposit paychecks, check their stock portfolios, or charge taxi rides to a credit card. It also makes it easier for Americans to use their phones when traveling to Europe or other regions using GSM. In Europe, GSM technology switches to national carriers as soon as users cross borders. Quote, "It's about 1 to 2 years ahead of other cell phone networks in the United States," unquote, said Dennis Gross of London-based Williams DeBro. Again quoting, "There is tremendous potential for growth," unquote. And beyond that, this particular deal is going to break some legal barriers as well. Skipping down of this particular deal, quote, "It was a hell of a price to pay," said Gross. "If it had been with Sprint, it would have been perceived as killing two birds with one stone. Deutsche Telekom still needs broadband to complete its U.S. platform," unquote. Deutsche Telekom will also have to carefully navigate political waters on both sides of the Atlantic in order to get this deal to work. In Washington, a group of 30 senators is urging the Federal Communications Commission to consider national security implications of any foreign acquisition of a U.S. telecommunications firm. FCC Chairman William Kennard pledged last week in a letter to the senators that he would give, quote, "close scrutiny," unquote, to any such takeover attempt. Moreover, Senator Ernest Hollings, Democrat of South Carolina, has introduced legislation that would forbid any foreign company owned more than 25% by its government from taking over a U.S. telecommunications business. Please note that what we're going to do now is to review another section from For the Record program number 235, Transatlantic Machinations of the Fourth Reich, and we're going to take a look at the role of the European Union and the European Commission in helping to deep six a merger between WorldCom and Sprint, with Deutsche Telekom waiting in the wings. And then we're going to discuss more about some of the legislation that has been proposed to help block the Deutsche Telekom situation. And we're going to discuss why. Again, this is from For the Record program number 235, Transatlantic Machinations of the Fourth Reich. Along the lines, again, of the European Union, again, dominated by Germany, functioning as an international body with the power to deep six American corporate acquisitions, and again, this should not be misunderstood as an endorsement of economic concentration or of the acquisitions, the huge corporate cannibalism that has been taking place, but rather note within this context, as within the context of globalization, how the European Union is functioning as a vehicle of German economic and political chauvinism. Consider the following from the New York Times of Tuesday, June 27th of the year 2000. This is an article by Simon Romero and David Leonhardt, L-E-O-N-H-A-R-D-T. It's headlined, European Official Opposes WorldCom-Sprint Merger, subtitled, but U.S. Clears Quest of Takeover by U.S. West. Now, I would note, too, that the U.S. Department of Justice, quite properly, in my opinion, opposed the WorldCom-Sprint merger on antitrust grounds, but note that the European Union has been working to block WorldCom and Sprint, the European Commission. Those are American corporations. What in bloody hell does the European Commission have any business regulating American business? We don't have any say in the European Union. We don't have any say in the European Commission. We're not represented on it. And note that the net effect of the European Commission's pressure on WorldCom and Sprint would be to possibly, this has not taken place yet as I speak on July 9th, but to possibly pave the way for the acquisition of Sprint by Deutsche Telekom. Now again, take note of how the European Union is functioning in this context. This article, again from the New York Times of 6/27/2000, reads in part as follows. The top antitrust officer of the European Commission said yesterday that he would advise the Commission to block WorldCom from buying Sprint unless the company significantly altered the terms of the deal. In another development in the rapidly consolidating telecommunications industry, Quest Communications International's $57 billion takeover of U.S. West received final regulatory approval yesterday, allowing the closing of a transaction that nearly fell apart when Quest considered dropping the deal in favor of a buyout offer from another company. But analysts say Quest's choice to conclude the deal may come at the cost of a potentially more lucrative deal with Deutsche Telekom, Europe's largest communications concern. The German company entered into and then abruptly broke off merger talks with Quest earlier this year. Apprehension over whether the Denver-based Quest lost an opportunity has grown in recent days with signs that regulatory authorities in Europe could block WorldCom's takeover of Sprint. That could make the two companies, number two and number three in American long distance, potential takeover targets for Deutsche Telekom. Please note the following. Again, apprehension over whether the Denver-based Quest lost an opportunity has grown in recent days with signs that regulatory authorities in Europe could block WorldCom's takeover of Sprint. That could make the two companies, number two and number three in American long distance, potential takeover targets for Deutsche Telekom. Skipping down, the Europeans, meanwhile, are concerned about the size of the company's internet businesses, which carry web traffic between local phone companies and large service providers like America Online. We're going to be taking up this same article in a different context as we talk about an extension of the German corporate control over American publishing and American media. We're going to be talking about growing German corporate control or attempted control over the internet. So stay tuned for that coming up in weeks to come, or arriving in weeks to come. Skipping down in this article, quote, "The Germans have a hole burning in their pocket. They want to buy something so badly," unquote, said Scott Clayland, the managing director of the Legg Mason Precursor Group in Washington. Deutsche Telekom's intentions to create a global network are well known. In an effort to expand across the Atlantic, the company may be seeking to use its stock, which is thought to be highly valued, as a currency to acquire a large American telecommunications company. When the Quest U.S. West deal is completed, it will be the first major combination between large local and long-distance telephone companies. Shares of Quest rose 56 cents to $52.93.75, while U.S. West climbed $1.28 to $93.75. The prospects for Quest remain bright to some analysts. Quote, "For Quest, it's either acquire or get acquired after it digests U.S. West," said Andrew Hammerling, a telecommunications analyst with the Bank of America Securities. "I think Quest is terribly attractive to any company seeking to expand," unquote. So again, although the U.S. antitrust considerations were very significant here, please note that the European Commission was working to scotch the WorldCom-Sprint merger, and that waiting in the wings was Deutsche Telekom. Again, note the German economic and political national agenda underlying the EU and European Commission facade, and note again the Friedrich List formula, which I've discussed in the past. Note again the remarkable Bormann organization, which I've discussed so many times in the past. That, again, an excerpt from For the Record program number 235, Transatlantic Machinations of the Fourth Reich. That was recorded on July 9th of the year 2000. Note also my ruminations about the role of the EU in breaking up the WorldCom-Sprint merger, only perhaps to have those two opened up for possible takeover by Deutsche Telekom. That has yet to happen. Note in that context the following. By the way, I misidentified the number of the broadcast talking about German corporate control over the Internet. That's entitled Dot Kameradschaft USA. That's For the Record 242, not 243. Now, again, note the Deutsche Telekom purchase of VoiceStream, that has drawn fire in Washington, D.C. for a number of different reasons. Reading now from the Los Angeles Times of Tuesday, July 25th of the year 2000, this is an article by Jube Shiver, Jr., S-H-I-V-E-R. It's Dateline Washington headlined, "Lawmakers Seek to Block Sale of VoiceStream." Skipping down, because the German government owns 56% of Deutsche Telekom, Europe's biggest phone company, Senator Ernest F. Hollings, Democrat of South Carolina, and Representative John D. Dingell, Democrat of Michigan, promptly introduced measures to block the deal. Quote, "I don't see how they, Deutsche Telekom, possibly could be approved under the law," Hollings told reporters on Capitol Hill. Again, quoting, "We didn't regulate the American telecommunications industry to put it under the Germans," unquote. And skipping down, noting again my ruminations from July 9th of 2000 and For the Record 235 about the role of the EU and the European Commission in blocking the WorldCom Sprint deal. Turning again to the LA Times of 7/25/2000, the German government said it wants to sell the rest of its stake in Deutsche Telekom, but has not set a timetable. The bid by Deutsche Telekom for VoiceStream comes less than a month after strong European opposition to the unraveling of a $129 billion mega-merger between U.S. long-distance carriers WorldCom Incorporated and Sprint. Some analysts think European criticism of that deal helped fuel American political opposition to VoiceStream's purchase by Deutsche Telekom. Quote, "It's too coincidental after the WorldCom Sprint deal," said Scott Cleland, a technology analyst at the Precursor Group consulting firm in Washington. "This is payback," unquote, "for the collapse of the WorldCom Sprint merger. The proposed merger will be reviewed by three U.S. agencies." So note that this particular analyst views the pending legislation in Washington as retaliation for the EU's actions vis-a-vis WorldCom and Sprint that I commented on in For the Record program 235. Skipping down, I think the congressional criticism sends the wrong message at a time when the U.S. is trying to get other countries to deregulate their telecommunications market, said Larry Darby, who once presided over regulation of the U.S. telephone industry as head of the Federal Communications Commission's Common Carrier Bureau. Skipping down again. It's a stretch to argue that this deal threatens national security when Germany is one of our closest allies, unquote, and VoiceStream has a comparatively small number of customers. I would note in that context the Oklahoma City bombing, according to Carol Howe, that was masterminded by the son of Helmut Kohl's chief of staff, and that chief of staff being Gunter Strassmeier, the architect of German reunification. Gunter Strassmeier's father was one of the founding members of the Nazi Party in Germany under the fellow by the name of Hitler. First name Adolf, perhaps some of you have heard of him. So we're going to take up the whole national security issue looming behind this deal later on in the program. But note again that Deutsche Telekom is 56, or in some cases, in some articles, it's reported as 58 or 57% owned by the German government. And note the role of the EU now, as well as the German government, in responding to the Hollings legislation. This is from the Financial Times of July 22nd and 23rd of the year 2000. This is an article by Peter Spiegel, S-P-I-E-G-E-L, in Washington, headlined, EU Raises Stakes Over VoiceStream Deal. Subtitled, U.S. Warned of Trade Retaliation If Congress Blocks Deutsche Telekom's Takeover Bid. This article reads in part, the European Union is threatening to withdraw from the World Trade Organization commitments if the U.S. passes legislation making its way through Congress that would bar Deutsche Telekom from buying VoiceStream. As the German telecommunications group prepares to finalize its $48 billion bid tomorrow, Democrat senators opposed to the idea have moved swiftly to introduce legislation preventing any takeover of a U.S. telecommunications operator by a company owned more than 25% by a foreign government. The European Commission's intervention on behalf of Deutsche Telekom risks destroying the entire World Trade Organization agreement on telecommunications. And so please note now that the European Union is vigorously opposing the deal and even threatening to withdraw from the WTO, a potentially huge step, and something which I think indicates the extent to which the European Union is essentially functioning as a proxy for German control, bearing in mind the nature of corporate Germany, as discussed at the beginning of the program in the excerpt from 235. The German government as well is getting involved in this discussion. This from the Financial Times of London of Thursday, July 27th of the year 2000. This is an article by Ralph Atkins in Berlin, headlined, Berlin Steps In to Warn U.S. on Telecommunications Stance, on Telecom Stance. Excuse me, it reads in part, Germany has warned Washington in exceptionally blunt terms that attempts by U.S. senators to block Deutsche Telekom's acquisition by VoiceStream, the U.S. mobile group, would violate international law and undermine world trade liberalization initiatives. And we're going to take up this transatlantic battling over the takeover of VoiceStream by Deutsche Telekom, basically at this stage of the game still a subsidiary of the German government. However, we're going to do that in the other side of this program. This is For the Record program 245, Deutsche Telekom Uber Alles, and this is being recorded on August 20th of the year 2000. I've made allusion to Spitfire. You can reach Spitfire at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. There's a list of and description of the various programs available from Spitfire on the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. The For the Record descriptions are footnoted, beginning with For the Record Program 233. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.